Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. A feast was prepared. All the trimmings, all of the delicious sides, rice and beans, fresh fruit and fresh juices, and a pig had been slaughtered, prepared and roasted over the fire from the very early mornings of the day until this special lunch. It was a feast to share between these two communities of Anglicans who had come together to celebrate our time of learning and our new relationships that we were building. I had been spending the week as part of an experience between the Anglican Church of Canada and the Episcopal Church of Cuba, learning and sharing experiences with our Cuban brothers and sisters and siblings in Christ. And that day, I was tired. I wasn't in the mood for celebrations. In fact, I had been wondering and resenting what I had been up to that week. See, what I had thought the plans for the week were going to be had ended up changing. I had been going in hoping to just be a participant, to go and enjoy and learn and build relationships without any extra work or responsibilities on my plate. And that day, I was very tired, because that week I had been busy working as a translator. I had been busy acting as the translator between our group of Canadians and our Cubans, and it was tiring, emotionally draining work, because it was every single meal. It was every single session that we had planned in the day, and it was even some extra things that came up in the evenings and in the spaces in between. I had gone in hoping to be present and learn, and here I was invited into the work of being a translator. And that day, I was tired, maybe even a little bit resentful, definitely a little bit frustrated, and I wasn't sure about this celebration. In our gospel reading, Jesus tells a story, a parable about two brothers and their father. And it ends with a feast. The fatted calf had been slaughtered and prepared, and the barbecue was going. All the fixings, all the beverages, full of joy and music, dancing and laughter. Fancy clothes had come out, and the father was extending this lavish love for the younger brother. And coming in from the fields, we have the older brother. He was in a mood that day. He heard music and dancing, so he called one of the servants out of the house to come and talk to him to find out what was happening. And that even set him off even further into a deeper, angry spiral. Seeing the lavish, extravagant love of the father, the older brother had a bone to pick that day. And I can easily imagine the mood, the frustration, the anger, the resentment. And then the father comes out to talk with him and to invite him in. And almost immediately, the older brother says, "Listen, all these years, I've been working like an enslaved person for you. I've never even disobeyed your commandments, and yet have you ever even given me a young goat that I might have a party with a few of my friends? But when this son of yours came back, the one who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you go and kill the fatted calf for him?" I don't know about you, but when I hear this parable read, I really get the older brother. I get his story, I get his feelings, and I find myself most often in his character in this story. It's easy to get buried up in the work and get to this level of frustration, anger, and resentment. And maybe it comes from some inner longing of the better work, the more joyous work. Maybe it comes from a longing of just that little bit of a joyous celebration, even if it's with a scraggly, stringy young goat, something to celebrate with friends. And maybe at the core of it, it's that desire for a little bit of that freedom to choose for himself what would be best. I suspect as well that the audience that Jesus was talking to in this parable also understood the older brother. See, Jesus is talking to the religious folks of his time, the Pharisees, the scribes, the people who understood the law. And they were there grumbling, complaining that Jesus was spending his time with tax collectors and sinners instead of spending it with them. Though if you go back one chapter, you'll actually see that Jesus was spending time in their house, having a feast with the leader of the Pharisees, and he was talking with them about the scripture, saying that the law calls them not only to obedience to the law, but also to a deeper relationship with the people that they didn't want to be in relationship with, the poor, the sick, the people with disabilities, and to be in relationship with people like these sinners and tax collectors, because that's what God's reconciling work is about. And so Jesus tells them this parable in response to it. And in the parable Jesus is telling, we hear the father inviting the older brother to come in. He reminds him of the truth of the situation. The father says to the older brother, "Son, you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and has come to life. He was lost and has been found." The father's love extends so deeply for the younger brother. And here in this last line of the parable, that same love is lavishly expressed for the older brother in this invitation. He's invited to come in, to join the party, to join in the celebration. And if you listen really carefully, you hear that the father changes the words for this brother, for the older brother, to say that you should come in and receive your brother again as a brother, not just the father's other son. The father invites him to transformation. Like many of the parables, like many a good story, Jesus doesn't leave it with a nice, neat, and tidy ending. He leaves it with a question hanging in the air. How will the older brother respond? The party is on. Will he come in? Will he stay out? How will his audience respond? How will we respond? See, in this parable, in this story, Jesus is talking about their hearts and Jesus's actions. Jesus is talking about our hearts and Jesus's work. And in it being about Jesus's work, it's also about God's actions, God's love, God's grace, God's mercy. It's about how God longs to welcome and restore those who have wandered and strayed, whether that's in heart or in action. And how God longs for these brothers to be together at the feast and to be brothers once again. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, it's very easy for my own self to transform into the older brother in this story, to go about the work that is laid out for me and do it out of obligation, do it out of obedience, do it out of necessity. And in doing it that way, that it might even breed resentment, anger, or frustration in my heart. And whatever that feeling is, I think that for myself and for the older brother in the story, it comes from this assumption, that if only I were free to choose, it would be better. What I find deeply challenging in this parable is that both of the brothers, younger and older, are working from that same assumption. If only I were free to choose for myself, then it would be better. See, the younger brother had, in essence, told the father, "I wish you were dead, so give me my share of the inheritance, because then I'll be free to choose for myself the best life." The older brother, too, is operating from that same assumption. He's angry and resentful, saying, "I wish I could be free to manage this estate instead of being obligated to the work that you give me. Especially on a day like today, when you use our wealth, what my inheritance is going to be, lavishly and excessively on this younger brother, on this your other son who ran away. When I finally inherit my portion, then I'll be free to choose what's best for me." free to do as I please, free to manage the gift. See, the deeper reality of this parable seems to be that the Father's love is both abundant and freeing. The Father allows the younger brother to do as he pleases. He is lavish and gracious and giving. And then when he returns, he rejoins back into the family, and he returns to the joy of the feast, and he wants this brother to celebrate and be brought to life. The Father is so loving in this parable. So let me return back to the story that I began with, so we might see how this might play out. The meal that day had been set out, and of course, in that moment, I had a choice. Do I go and celebrate, or do I stew in my resentment and frustration about having done the work that was needed, about having served my siblings in Christ, using gifts and skills that I had received from God? But in my heart, I was still wishing somehow that I had control to make it the way that I had wanted it, to control that experience for my own sake, as though I knew better. For me, at least, at that time, the answer was that I chose to join in the celebration, to receive the things that God had for me with all of the tiredness, with all of the fatigue, with all of the emotional and hard work of translating that I had done. I decided to show up and be present, to hear stories, to offer and share my own stories, to translate stories as an in-between, and to hold some of that joy that God was giving us in that space, both in terms of the learning experiences and in terms of the relationships that we had built that week. And for me, in that moment, it was a matter of turning, a matter of reorienting my heart. It was a matter of repentance. And then that is the work that Lent calls us to, that Lent invites us to reorient, to reflect, to return our hearts, our minds, and our bodies to that life that God calls us to. And in doing that, I found the joy, the celebration, the delight, and the grace, and the love of God that was present both in the work that I had been doing that week and in that celebratory feast. Do I do that all the time? I wish I could say honestly that I do, but unfortunately, I fail. I fail to turn my heart in the right way to be able to receive the gift of God's grace, of God's love, especially in the midst of work and obligations and duty. I often fail to see the feast that God has laid out, the gift that God continues to offer me, to offer us. But that invitation, like the father who's waiting at the door for the younger son to return, is always open, that his attitude is to rush out and welcome us in and draw us into that party. See, that's the good news of the story we read this morning. That the Father's disposition, the Father's attitude, the Father's character is to be prodigal with his love. To be prodigal, meaning extravagant, freely, lavishly, even recklessly giving and spending his love for his children that he loves. And the Father's love knows no limit and no ends, and it is a love that is extended both to the younger brother and the older brother, to both of his sons, to all of his children. And it's a gift of grace, something that we don't deserve, but we are freely given anyways. It's a gift of mercy, where we don't actually get what we deserve in a situation. It's a gift of God's love. And it's an invitation then for us as well to come on in and join in the party. And it asks us only to receive it for what it is, the whole gift of God, that we turn our hearts, our bodies, our minds, our spirits back to God and receive from him. So, the feast is prepared. Father invites us. How are you going to respond? Amen.